friends, welcome to the Voices of MCC podcast. Our hope is to give you an opportunity to connect with those in MCC and hear how the beliefs and practices that we share together impact the daily lives of individuals in our church and our church ministry. And today we have an opportunity to think about one of our church ministries, the Masters Christian Academy, which has multiple names that it goes by: MCA for Masters Christian Academy, Co-op, School. It goes by lots of different names, but Tuesday afternoons at our church facility now for years, we have had a number of families and churches participating, and we have games, we have classes, we have snacks, we have laughing and fun, and it's the traditional homeschool co-op. And a great ministry of our church, a great time for kids and families. And a couple of guests today to think about MCA: Julie Chipman, who is a deaconess at MCC and leads this ministry for us as a part of our discipleship ministry for our whole church, and Christy Thompson. Christy teaches PE, has taught other classes as well, and it is great to have you ladies with us today on Voices of MCC podcast. Jules, as I refer you, my wife, and it is so weird to call you Julie at any time, and so I'll just call you Jules here, and other folks will chuckle a bit at that. But Jules, catch us up on the history of MCA. How did this start? What was the stimulus for it years ago?
Yeah, so if we go back to about 2004, early in the year, we had several families at MCC who had small children who were homeschooling, who were just getting their feet wet, really, with homeschooling. And we had just come together as a group. I think they were really just about three families at the time, along with an older couple who were also interested in helping this ministry. And we just said, hey, what can we do here? What can we do to bring our kids together, to have some fellowship for the moms and for the kids, to help them learn in a group setting, to be able to play games together, to be able to do some different classes, some different things that it's harder to do at home on your own. It's easier to do a science experiment when you have more kids around, or an art project. So we just began to toss out ideas and think through what that might look like. And we launched fall of 2004. And I wish I had our roster from fall 2004, but I think we had about 15 kids.
And this fall,
yes,
fall of 2020, how many kids did we
have? 77 students, ranging from ages 3 to 16. That's 26 families. I didn't do the actual math on how many of those families are MCC, but about half are MCC families.
And how many total churches are participating?
I calculated 14 churches are involved.
And that principle right there, that number of churches, that number of families, so about half the kids are MCC, that means half outside,
right?
That means 13 other churches and 40-ish kids from those 13 churches. When I think about that, I think about Ephesians 4 in verse 16. From him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. I've had the privilege of being involved in MCA off and on over the years as my schedule would allow, and for many years taught multiple classes, but the joy that I experienced in seeing so many different churches and families participating in a common ministry, and knowing that the kids who were there each Tuesday afternoon saw their mom participating with other moms and those moms from other churches, and seeing a visual example of fellowship where multiple people were using their giftings to serve a broader purpose in helping people to know Christ and gaining traction for their family and so forth. And that has been a delight. And it's been a delight to have each family contribute and see how they have grown. One of those families, the Thompson family, and Christy is with us today. Christy, great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And Christy, you have the last few years been teaching PE, and I want to come back to that, the all-star favorite class for so many kids. But let's jump back further. When did you begin to participate in MCA?
Well, we came to Master's Community Church in 2009. And at that time, we only had two kids, our oldest two. They were 4 and 2. And we had our third on the way. And shortly after coming, I expressed my interest in homeschooling. I remember talking to Julie about it. She told me about MCA. And that fall, we had come in the summer of 2009. And that fall, we had just started participating and have been there ever since.
So over 10 years,
yes.
And I know some of those years were hanging out in the nursery, as that seems to be the rotation for moms with little ones hanging out there. Do you have any memories of nursery time, Christy?
Yeah, it was good. I really enjoyed it at the time when I had littles. It was a nice time to talk with other moms, you know, and just get to know other families. Enjoyed that time while I was there.
Yes, and I remember over the years, I would be walking around the facilities, kind of checking on things during MCA or between my classes. I'd get to run back to my office for a few minutes and just look at what was going on or get something done, answer some calls or something. And I would walk by the nursery right across from my office there, and I don't know how many times I saw moms happy as could be. Like, they walked in with a certain expression, but when they were in the nursery just hanging out, it was like sunshine on their face, just fellowship and getting to have adult conversation. I saw women laughing. I saw ladies crying at times and just sharing life. I remember seeing gals talk about curriculum and what they're doing and stages of life and sick kids. And we have seen so many ups and downs in different families and situations in our church. And the nursery often provided a bit of a hub, it still does, for the conversation that's going on with these, you know, 20 some or however many families are participating at that time. So nursery's so important. And it's great to see ladies connecting there.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Go ahead,
just
Jules.
Just this last week, we have a family who had been away and are back to town now. And I wanted to just have a chance to talk to her, and she's afloat. So I just scheduled her to be in the nursery so I could chat with her a little bit. So yes, I like the nursery too. That's my place to get to catch up with people.
Yes. Tuesday nights over the years, we would sit at dinner and do highlights of the day and talk about different events. And I remember telling my wife, it's fun to see ladies in the nursery having fun laughing. It's just good to see. Well, you mentioned scheduling there, Jules. You coordinate that schedule each year. It may have to be revisited at times at the semester, but normally in the summer, there's a meeting in June that sort of gets early planning going, another meeting maybe later in the year. Reflect on those scheduling meetings, if you would, for us. Help us, help folks to appreciate what goes on behind the scenes there.
Yeah, actually, well, we used to begin our plans for the fall and the summer, and those meetings got really, really long. So I don't know, about 6 years ago or so, we started sending out a letter of intent in the spring to just for people to say, yes, we're coming back next year, or no, we're not. And yes, we're coming back. And then moms would write down 3 possibilities of what they would like to teach next year. Our co-op is completely led by moms and other volunteers. And so every family that's there, mom is teaching, and every mom is required to teach one class every year and then help. We have four classes each Tuesday. So every mom teaches one class and helps in three others. So moms will, in their letter of intent that's usually due in April, will write down potential classes, things they would like to teach. So then I take that information that comes in and I begin to kind of, it's like a puzzle, and I begin to kind of piece it all together. So we have different age groups. And so we need to find four classes for each age group that we have. We have about six age groups. So we work through that. And then by our June meeting, we usually have a sketch of what a schedule might look like. And then we just come in and fill in the gaps, and people then will sign up for where they would like to be helpers, and it all just kind of comes together. It's fun to see it come together every year. And as the years have gone by, moms will often repeat a class they've taught because they maybe want their smaller children to have the same opportunity they had maybe taught a class for their older child. And they have the materials, they have a class that students have enjoyed. And so we start to get repeat classes, which is nice. That helps with scheduling. And kids look forward to taking a class the older kids have taken. In fact, I had a conversation. I checked in with some of our older kids today on their favorite classes over the years. And our oldest daughter, who's been out of co-op for a lot of years, mentioned one of her favorite classes was a finance class that is still being taught today by the same teacher. So pretty cool.
It's very fun to think about that, to think about the legacy of these teachers. Right. And it's fun for me when I talk about Academy to other folks to talk about the creativity of the teachers and classes. Right. There's a class going on this year, strategy games. What a great class. What a great idea that mom just thought, let's do a class where kids play games and we think about how to strategize and to compete and what that looks like. So very helpful. And we've had a chemistry teacher one year who was teaching chemistry at MCA, and then she would go to Johnson County Community College and teach chemistry right afterward on the same day. So she was an expert, and the kids gained so much. Yeah. And the kids have had other just great classes over the years. But I think it can be said that the favorite class overall of MCA is PE. So Christy, let's talk about PE here. You have been teaching PE for how many years?
Well, I've been teaching the majority of the PE classes for probably at least 5 years, but a couple years prior to that, I started out with the younger kids class. And it's been fun.
Tell us about it. What is fun for you about teaching PE?
I just get to see the kids out there having fun and enjoying themselves and enjoying each other, especially the older kids. They're so fun. They kind of tease each other in a fun, playful way. And it's just fun to see them play together and kind of organize themselves. And I give them a lot of freedom in PE. I give them the guidelines and let them just come to me with suggestions. I want it to be fun. I want them to learn, but I want it to be fun. And it's a time that they don't get normally to play with all their friends. And I just enjoy so much seeing them and seeing them grow, starting out in the younger PE classes, teaching them kickball, for instance, and having to teach them the game and toning down the rules a bit so they don't get too discouraged, and then enabling that, adding more to the rules and making the game more difficult and more like it should be as they get older. Just it's fun to improve that and make it grow each year as the kids grow.
So fun to hear you reflect on this, Christine. I think of all the classes, PE provides an opportunity to see kids' physical growth, but also their spiritual growth. Because for kids, the ages as they grow up, 10, 11, 12, they become physically more able, but they become also more susceptible to pride to a competition that's unhealthy. And you can sort of start to see that. And you have an opportunity to shepherd those thoughts along and help kids play together. How have you seen kids grow spiritually, even through playing physical games in PE?
I think I notice that most, it seems to just kind of go as they mature. And some kids will be, have a bit more bent towards being more competitive and, you know, really desiring to win more than others. And we've, with my younger classes, I have to do this more than with the older kids, but just stopping them at some point when, you know, they're frustrated with somebody or they think that someone has broken the rules or isn't playing fair, we can stop and we can talk about, you know, how to play in a way that glorifies God, how to play the games and give each other grace and just be kind to one another. And I can just see them as they get older, these things start working themselves out. And that's why the older class, to me, the high schoolers and the 13 and 14s are such a joy, because they've just grown and they've matured. And it's so fun to watch them get to the point where they can play and enjoy each other and not be so you know, concerned with the ultimate results of the game and be more concerned about their relationships with the kids that they're playing with.
I think that you've said it so well. The relationships of kids they play with, that's just crucial that they enjoy that time. And I know for many moms and dads, I think I speak for many dads as well, PE is so important because kids who are homeschooled, they get to play games with their siblings and not many other people, unless they're on an organized team of some kind, which is great. And most kids are in some way of on a team or do some other outlet, whether it's gymnastics or baseball or basketball or whatever, they're competing in some way or playing outside. But on a regular basis, every day, that doesn't happen. It may be on a scheduled basis a couple times a week, but it's not like the traditional PE that's twice a day at a public school. So to get that kind of game activity, I know, is appreciated for so many families, and it's fun. Now, it's also the case that you have to be flexible. I know this, I've seen it. You have to be flexible for weather, for who's going to be there that day. And how does the Lord help you with that, just in terms of flexing and bringing things together?
Well, I think mostly I kind of have an idea of what I might be playing next week, but I really wait to solidify that until the day of. So that helps with weather. And I usually try to come with a couple plans, especially if I think the backyard will be wet. Then I have a parking lot plan. And then if it's really actually going to rain that day, you know, if I'm not sure if it will or not, if it actually is going to rain, then I'll have an indoor plan. But I can't, you know, the Lord just helped prepare me to do this position because the mom that had taught it for years before me, she left me with a lot of resources. And so I'm just able to draw from those. And then just by experience, seeing what the kids really enjoy the most, and I'm not afraid to keep repeating things. So I enjoy that. And I just pray for wisdom each week, and the Lord just works it out and helps me sometimes at the last minute, but he helps me be able to carry out a plan that works well.
I appreciate your flexibility and so many moms. And this is one thing that maybe folks don't appreciate from MCA is how organized it is. And every mom comes with, you know, a lesson plan ready for the day. You come with three lesson plans. It's sort of, well, if it's backyard, good, we're set here. If it's parking lot day, if it's inside, and trying to make things work. And I've seen you, the thing about the PE teacher, if it's 95 degrees late August, you're out there. If it's 30 degrees and moms are up for it, and that is moms are up for sending their children out, coats and gloves and all the rest. When it's 20 degrees, 20 something, let's say in February, you're out there. And just appreciate your flexibility and diligence there. It does mean so much to families. Now, one of the most enjoyable times of the PE rotation. So, Jules, you mentioned earlier, there are four class periods. each day, and there are multiple actual classes going on in each period because there are different age groups. But everyone gets snack at some point, gets snack time. And this is the most important time of the day. Friends, nothing has changed from when you were a kid, right? What was the best part of the school day? Snack time, lunch or recess. And that's still true with MCA. It's recess and not lunch, but snack time. So we just need to be honest here. We just want to be honest on the podcast, and we want to be honest all the time, but we got to just be full disclosure. For moms, the best part of the day is snack. Because they get to come together for a few minutes in the fellowship hall and chat and eat something and laugh. And I've seen just great conversations, great connections being made around the snack table. And so, okay, what favorite snack? Jules, you go first and Christy, you're next.
Oh, absolutely. A bag of chips. Bag of chips.
Yeah. What kind?
Probably Cheetos or Doritos.
Christy?
I'm going to have to say chips as well.
I knew it, Christy.
Chips.
Now, I will have to give a disclaimer here. COVID has changed that a bit this year. When we planned this year, we knew it would be a year, the words we described it, a year of grace and flexibility. And one of the things we decided to do is kind of do away with just a corporate snack time. So kids have brought their own snacks this year, and they eat them either before or after PE. So it's looked a little different this year, but all the other years, yes, 100% agree. It's been a great time for moms to chat and enjoy some chips.
All right, let's keep up the questions here. Christy, Royals or Chiefs, who do you root for with greater enthusiasm?
Oh my, well, probably, I'm going to have to say Royals just because, it makes sense that because of what Ryan does, that we would be Royals fans. So, yep.
Jules?
Yeah, definitely over the long haul Royals. I think COVID kind of squelched that a little bit, and the Chiefs have made life fun. So temporarily maybe Chiefs, but over the long haul, definitely Royals.
Okay, food. Here's a question. Joe's, KC, or Jack Stack? Jules?
Probably Joe's.
Christy?
I'm going to say Jack Stack.
Jack Stack. All right. Vacation. Christy, would you rather go to the beach or the mountains?
Beach.
Jules?
Mountains.
Date night. Jules, would we go to Kauffman Center to see some performance or the Plaza? Now, that's a big date night. That's like Christmas Day or something. So I need to qualify. That's not like every week.
Well, probably the Plaza. Kauffman Center.
Christy?
Probably the Plaza.
Plaza. Okay. There it is. Well, ladies, as you look ahead to MCA, the rest of 2021 here and into 2022, we'll be here before we know it here. And as we look ahead, what do you hope to accomplish? What do you hope to see the Lord do? Jules, you first.
Yeah, I mean, this year has been such an answer to prayer already, just that we've been able to continue to maintain a semi-normal schedule in light of everything. Just the same, we definitely see co-op is a place where discipleship happens. It's a partnership with the parents and helping us disciple our kids, really. And the classroom provides different opportunities for discipleship that we may not have at home always. And so that partnership there, that would continue, that moms would continue to be able to have fellowship and encouragement from other moms, and that that ultimately we would come together because of Christ and glorify him.
Christy.
I think along the lines of what Julie said, just that the relationships would continue. MC has been such a blessing from the relationship standpoint. My kids have friends that they're still in contact with that don't come to MCA anymore. And it's just been such a blessing to get to know other families who are doing the same things we are doing, homeschooling your kids. You know, it's not every day you run into somebody who's doing the same thing. And so to come every Tuesday and to meet with people and to encourage each other and to have the opportunity to encourage someone else is such a blessing. So just that the relationships continue to deepen and be glorifying to God in that way.
Gals, thanks for joining us on the Voices of MCC podcast. It is just fun to reflect on what the Lord has done these years, to hear you, to reflect about it. And I'm excited for what's to come. Again, I thank you for your work. I thank you on behalf of MCC and the elders of MCC, but I know many churches and the leadership of many churches are thankful for what you have done and other groups like this to help their families and to give them outlets together. So gals, thanks for being a part of things. Continue, friends who are listening here, to tune in for future episodes of Voices of MCC podcast. God bless you.